Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Comptegame. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking creative ways to pay for your wedding.
Millennial Money with Shauna Comptegame. It will expand your brain.
All right, so we are ringing in wedding week all week long. This week, we are going to bring you all sorts of different podcasts about weddings, about marriage and money, everything that you need to know to kind of get off to a good start. And we're going to kick it off today with creative ways to pay for your wedding. And I know I've done a podcast about this last year. You know, we're kind of getting ready for June, and the summer season is always either when you start thinking about a wedding or when you're actually having a wedding. And probably if you're kind of full swing into planning your wedding, maybe this podcast is a little bit too late for you, but maybe you can pick off some of the tips and tricks that I'm going to talk about in this podcast, because, you know, the potential cost by a recent survey done by Knot says that the average U.S. couple spends an estimated $32,641 on their wedding. And I just want to tell you that it is absolutely, positively, totally feasible to have a kick-butt, awesome, amazing, badass wedding for way less than $32,641. And I know this because I've done it, and I've worked with a ton of other couples to help them come up with creative ways to pay for their wedding and to really think outside of the box when it comes to your wedding, because even if you have, let's say you have an amazing budget, let's say you're so blessed and you have a $50,000 budget or a $30,000 budget, meaning, you know, your parents give you that cash or maybe you inherited it or for some reason you have that much money to spend. I think what I'm always trying to talk about on this podcast is, why would you spend that amount of money if you didn't have to, right? Maybe there's a way you can save a little, you know, even $5,000 or a couple thousand dollars. It goes a long way, because then what you can do is you can just grease your piggy bank for all of those cool things that you want to do after you get married. And I think, you know, a really interesting thing, especially in the United States, I know we have a lot of listeners that are outside of the United States, but at least what I found in the US is that we tend to put far too much emphasis on the actual wedding day, right? And I get it, like, you, especially for girls, like, we dream about this and we dress up when we're younger, we think about this endlessly. But the problem is that we focus so much on the wedding, the actual day. And honestly, we're talking like, what is an actual wedding? Like 4 hours, 5 hours, maybe a little bit longer if you string it out and have, you know, a morning wedding and an evening reception. But I mean, let's be real. We're talking about like a matter of hours, right? That we're actually having this party, this celebration. And the problem is we put so much pressure and so much importance on that little like small span of time. And we forget to put the importance on, hello, the actual marriage. And so I think there's like a big letdown that happens with a lot of couples after they come back from their honeymoons, like, oh crap, we actually have to be married. We actually have to, like, you know, figure out this money thing together, figure out, you know, how to do life. We have to get comfortable with each other's, you know, I'll call them things that each other does that is slightly bothersome to the other person. You know, especially if you've not moved in with each other yet, there's a massive adjustment period. And I think that we feel like, especially because we see it in the movies and everything, we feel like married life is supposed to be just like that, right? We go off and have this amazing wedding, we go on this honeymoon, we come home, and everything is just perfect. And the problem that a lot of couples face, or I should say most couples face, is that there are some bumpy times, and a lot of them happen in the first year of marriage when you're really trying to get adjusted to each other. And so I really hate to see people so focused on how much money can I get for those 4 or 5, 6 hours of my wedding, and not really focused on, okay, what are we actually going to be like, to do, to think, to feel? What is it going to be like to be married? Because that's the tough part, honestly. The wedding part, spending cash, that's the easy part, right? The hard part was when nobody's paying attention to you anymore, nobody's sharing wedding pictures, nobody's sending you gifts in the mail. It's when that euphoria tends to die down that I think people get really antsy and nervous. And, you know, I've even worked with like newlywed couples who said like they start throwing around the word divorce because they don't know how to adjust after spending all their money on that wedding. And my gosh, like, honestly, if I can give you any marital advice at all from my experience, it is don't throw that D word around unless you really mean it, because that is a big, heavy, powerful, destructive word that is super, super, super hard to come back from. So be really careful about like throwing around things like that. But back to my point, I have done weddings, yes, for far under $32,000. I think I talked about this on the podcast last year. When Jeff and I got married almost 4 years ago now, we set a budget of $2,500. We ended up going over, we spent $2,700. And that was all in. And we had an amazing wedding. We wanted to do other things with our money. And I am just so, like, probably annoyingly so, I'm not against, because that's a bad word, but I just see the value in a big chunk of money and other things that you can do with that big chunk of money versus just spending it for a 4 or 5 hour event. So we did all sorts of creative things. We actually got married in a backyard. We had a pizza oven that came and did like a gourmet pizzas, which was a fraction of the price. We bought almost all our own alcohol and had a friend that was a bartender be the bartender. One of our friends volunteered. He's a chef. He volunteered to do our appetizers for cost, which was amazing. We went down to a flower market to get flowers the day of the wedding. I mean, there was just so many different ways that we cut costs. I bought my wedding dress like on a sale rack, and it was actually the dress of my dreams. I did not set out to actually buy it on the sale rack. It just so happened. I was like, okay, this is totally godsend. He knows that I love budgeting and that I love a deal. So this is amazing. But you know, there are so many different ways that you can have an amazing wedding. And I guarantee you, our guests had no idea that we spent that little on our wedding. I mean, we had all the elements of an amazing wedding. It just was, you know, for a palatable amount of money. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited. And it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding? Or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical. If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this, they release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. So if you're thinking that $32,000 is just way too much money. You know, there are lots of ways to cut back on expensive items. you know, number one is the amount of people. You don't need 300 people or 200 people at your wedding. That is, you don't need that much, you know? Think of a wedding that is smaller in size, that's more intimate. I think that's really becoming a popular trend now, you know, to have a wedding with, you know, your core kind of family and friends. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe you have a backyard party afterwards for, you know, everybody or a little bit later on. But you certainly don't need hundreds and hundreds of people at your wedding, honestly. You probably don't know three quarters of those people anyway. Venue costs, like I said, we rented a backyard, but this is a big way that you can save. You know, think about like renting a house. There are Airbnb rentals now where you can actually rent the venue, or a villa rental. You can get a venue that doesn't require you to use their vendors, which is super key, because then you can bring in outside vendors that you can negotiate with, that you can save money with, that you can cut costs on. You know, when you go with a venue where you have to use their venues, like, you are shackled, right? It's like, all right, fine, here's all my credit cards, just charge whatever you can. You know, so venue is a huge one. And flowers and photography are two other big, big expenses. There are two tech companies that I love that have solutions for this. I wish the first one would have been around when I got married, but it's called Bloomerent. And I don't know if you've seen this, but they've done a whole lot of kind of news pieces about this. But you can actually choose to either share your flowers after you've used them for your wedding, or you can use someone's flowers that are 24 hours or less old for your own wedding. And what they do is they repurpose the flowers. So they turn them into brand new bouquets. They freshen them up. You know, they keep, I mean, you're not going to get, you know, dead flowers if you're using someone else's flowers. Like, they look amazing. You would never know the difference. And they have a statistic that says the average person spends about $1,200 on wedding flowers alone, $1,200. And with Bloomerent, you can save 10 to 60% off the price of those flowers just by using their service. So I think it's really innovative. If you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, you know, maybe you have a venue, like we had a venue that had a lot of flowers, and it was just, the landscaping was really decorative. So we didn't need a lot of flowers. I think we only ended up spending about $200 on flowers. You know, so maybe that's another trick. Like, the more intricate your venue is, the less you need to spend on flower arrangements and all sorts of things like that. Be really creative with those. Another, we actually use this in a wedding. Another thing that I love is called WedPix, and you can actually set up a code for your wedding and encourage your guests to take pictures and then upload them to this, to WedPix via their phone. And so what you do is you can get a ton of different photos from all different angles, all different perspectives from your wedding. Yes, they're not professional photos, right? But these days, I think we pretty much use everybody's social media pictures of our wedding, and maybe just a handful of those from a professional photographer. So it's a way, another way, again, just to think about this innovatively and to use technology seriously to your advantage, because photography is ridiculous. And I don't think you need like 300 or 400 pictures from your wedding. I mean, realistically, you're only probably going to, you know, either hang a few of them on your wall, or they're going to sit in like a photo book and, you know, you're going to look back on it. But is it really going to be worth, you know, like $5,000 or something, $10,000? I've heard just crazy stories about photos. And another idea is you can think about an alternate day of the week. Like, who says you need to get married on a Saturday? We got married on a Friday, and getting married on a Friday saved us on, you know, table and chair rentals and all sorts of different things like that. We even got a valet because we lived in an area that was super hard to park. And the valet gave us a discount just because it was Friday and not a Saturday or a Sunday. So think outside of the box, you know, have a wedding on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. Who cares what day of the week is? Just let your guests know ahead of time, you know, so they can plan for that. But no one says it absolutely has to be on a Saturday evening, right? That's just something that I think we've like created, you know, and it's turned into this thing. And what happens is it turns into an excuse for people to raise prices. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you're shopping for your wedding, and let's say you go in to look at a cake, anytime the word wedding comes out of your mouth, like they immediately add like 25, 30% to the price. It's just crazy. You know, it's just because we've just sort of created this frenzy around weddings. And, you know, I think most vendors think that everybody has this super crazy budget that they're dealing with. And the reality is most of us don't. Or if you do, like you're trying to pull it from every nook and cranny, you know, you're trying to like find money under your sofa cushions and things like that. And that's just not the way it should be, right? I don't want you to go in debt. I don't want you to go broke just because you want to have a wedding. I think that just sort of sets you off on the wrong foot. Another idea is credit card points. And seriously, I talk about credit card points all the time. I think they are ingenious. I think they're only getting better and better. The trick is that you have to have a strong payoff strategy for that debt if you're going to go in debt. And you really should use your credit card like a debit card, meaning whatever you charge during the month, you pay off. But the bonus of using the credit card is you can turn these points not only into cash or cash back, but into a ton of different ways to save on your wedding. You can get gift cards to pay for flowers. You can get gift cards for wedding gifts, all sorts of things. You can have points for destination wedding rooms if you're going to do a destination wedding, or flights for guests. I mean, let alone your honeymoon. I mean, the way you can use points is just endless. I'm a fan of the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and they have a division called the Ultimate Rewards Program, kind of hub, I guess I would say. Like American Express has one. A lot of these credit card companies have these, where you can go in and kind of shop with your points and figure out how you can utilize them. So you can really get a strategy down. American Express has one of the best kind of points hubs, I will say, where you can just, man, if you can really rack, like if you travel for business and you can rack up your points, you can use almost all those points and cut out an amazing amount of your wedding budget right there. So just, again, it's all about just thinking differently about this. So if you're needing to save for your wedding, right, if money is not coming from any other place, this is the time to dive into your numbers and to really think about it like you're going to run a marathon, right? You're not doing a sprint. So every day you're going to make some progress, but you're not going to put the pressure on yourself so that it's totally overwhelming. And also, you're not going to pick a wedding date that's unrealistic, right? If you need to save $25,000 and you pick a wedding date that is 6 months out, I mean, that's, unless you have a ton of money each month to save, that's pretty unrealistic. So the idea is to take the sum of what your budget is for your wedding, divide it up by the months to your wedding, and then that will tell you how much you need to save each month. And if you want to go further, you can actually divide it up into 30 days and then figure out how much you actually need to save each day. So depending on, or you can do it, you can divide it up and find out how much per week, you know, depending on what you're like as a saver and as a couple, you know, depends on, or I guess I should say determines how minute you want to get with that savings number. But I mean, man, pull out every stop you can to remind yourself that you're saving for your wedding. I mean, put stuff on your mirrors, put stuff in your car, put stuff on your refrigerator, put stuff, motivational quotes by your door. I mean, do whatever you need to do to stay on track and to remind yourself why you're doing this. But while you're doing it, also think about, okay, are there any creative ways that we can knock down some of that cost so that we don't have to save $25,000 or whatever your number is? Maybe we only have to save 20, or maybe we only have to save 15. You know, don't be married just to that big number just because of peer pressure or, that's a big one, peer pressure. Like, who says you have to have the same wedding as your friend? I mean, I am all for doing things differently. I think you stand out when you do something differently. Why do you have to have the same generic wedding as everybody else? I dare you, be different, right? Another idea is, and I talk about this all the time on the podcast, is negotiating with your vendors. This is, your vendors are willing to negotiate with you.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. One of the coolest things I've seen done is a friend of mine, actually, I encouraged her to negotiate for all sorts of things, and she came back to me and she said, "You know what? I actually negotiated to exchange my skills for photography and for flowers and for a caterer." And here's what she did. She was great at building websites, and she saw that the vendors that she wanted to use didn't have killer websites. And so she went and negotiated an exchange for her revamping their website for free stuff. So, you know, yeah, she had to put in work, but in return, she got the flowers she wanted to, she got the photography she wanted to, she got catering that she wanted, all sorts of cool things like that. So if you have a skill, whether it's PR or building websites or whatever it is, I mean, there's so many, doing money, I mean, there's so many different things that you can use to negotiate with vendors, or it, just strictly negotiating with them, you know, on the costs, like, "You know, I really want to work with you, but you're in competition with someone else and they're 10% lower." Now, when you do that, you need to make sure that you have another vendor because, you know, the vendor may sort of test you on that. And again, don't get ridiculous with that, but you can negotiate with the vendors, especially if you're bringing them into your venue. Like I said, that's a big way that you can negotiate with them. And crowdfunding is super, super trendy now. GoFundMe pages, I think, if you're thinking about a GoFundMe page, you've really got to stand out. So you've got to have a compelling story, make it fun, make it interesting, make people have some sort of emotional attachment to why they should donate to your wedding, right? And most likely you're sending out this crowdfund.me to people that you would actually invite to the wedding, not to complete strangers, because I think complete strangers are going to be like, wait, what? I'm paying for your wedding? I don't even know you, right? So you're probably going to send this out to people you know, but make some sort of, make it genuine, make it real. I'm not talking about lying here. You know, we're not making up some crazy story, but find something that is unique about you guys as a couple and really speak to that. You know, do a video, do something fun, make it funny, make it interesting, make them feel like what it's going to be like to be at your wedding. And I've seen some amazing GoFundMe pages that, I mean, I would even be compelled to donate to because they make me want to be part of their friend group, you know, and I want to go to their wedding. So let's talk about borrowing now, because that's always a question I get. So if you have a 401k and you want to borrow from it, that is my probably short of using credit cards. Credit cards would probably be my very, very, least worthy suggestion, because the problem is that most times you don't pay it off. And then you've got this ridiculous, debt that's like, you know, the interest is 20% and it's growing each month and it's overwhelming. If you're going to borrow from a 401k, the rules state that you can borrow up to $50,000 or one half of the amount you have in your 401k. So if you're thinking about borrowing, you actually really need to call your 401k supervising company, the company that holds your 401k, and you want to talk to them about these things. You want to ask them, what is the interest rate if I borrow from my 401k? Really important to know, because you're not just taking the money out for free. You're actually borrowing at an interest rate that you're going to have to make payments on every single month. So then you want to figure out, what is your payment amount and can that actually fit in your budget? And lastly, again, are there any other ways that you can either lower the cost or pay for the wedding first before you take money out of your 401k? Think about things too. If you're going to borrow from your 401k, how long are you going to actually stay at that company? Because if you don't stay at that company long enough to repay that loan and then you go to leave to another company, you're going to have to repay that loan almost immediately. So you just really need to think of that strategy if you're going to do that first. And lastly, another creative idea I just heard this one, last weekend, actually. Somebody actually held a wedding social, they called it. They held an event where they sold tickets, raffle items, all sorts of things to raise money for their wedding. I thought that was really interesting. So they held this, I believe it was 9 months or so before their wedding, and they knew some musicians, they had some musicians come play, they raffled off some like amazing items that they got from friends and things. And they actually were able to raise around $10,000 to put towards their wedding. So again, you know, there's not one way to do this, but I think the important thing is just to think, challenge yourself to think creatively about this. And also think about, like, even if your parents are willing to give you $50,000 or whatever it may be, you know, could you take half of that money and use that for the wedding and the rest of it? Maybe you save for the down payment on your house. Or maybe you knock out your student loan debt with the other half, or, you know, other things that are, maybe you need to move, maybe you want to, I don't know. I mean, there's so many different things that come up in life that you could use that extra cash for. Maybe you're planning on starting a family right away. Well, you could certainly use a giant cash surplus to help you with that. So just think outside of the box. Again, I'm going to put in the show notes links to a couple of things that I mentioned, and I hope you join us tomorrow for another episode on Wedding Week. As always, you can follow me on Twitter @ShaunaGame and Instagram @millennial_money.